First of all, everybody, welcome. Mike Thomas, now you are CEO of Real World, correct?
I am, yes.
So how's life as a CEO of Real World?
Ever-changing and entertaining. No 2 days are ever the same, and which makes it fun. I mean, I have a unique job in the sense that, you know, I don't have kind of the daily deliverables that a lot of the people who work here at Real World have. So I'm a little bit more flexible and fluid about, you know, where I spend my time and energy. But with that, it allows me kind of creative space to pick and choose the directions, you know, we take Real World, which is, you know, what excites me and gets me out of bed every day.
So how did you get to where you are right now? How did you become CEO of Real World?
Well, it's a long, sordid story, but essentially, I was trained. I went to school after high school to be a chef of all things, and I actually love cooking. And out of culinary school, I got a job at this restaurant. I moved up to be sous chef, and then I helped open this other restaurant in Seattle, and worked my way up there as well, and did some catering on the side. So I did that for about 10 years, and I had no, you know, dream of ever actually being where I am today. The phone rang one day, and it was my brother, and who started Real World along with Eric Huber, and asked me, like, almost in a frantic tone, like, dude, I need to see you. When can you meet me today? And, like, that just was really out of the ordinary for my brother Steve. So I thought something was wrong. It's like he's dying or something.
Frantic but, phone calls.
Exactly. Like, today I need to see you. So I get to his house, and mind you, I didn't even know where he lived. So he had to
what?
Send me.
What, your brother?
No, I mean, he had just moved into this place. I hadn't been there yet.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of almost before text messages, too. So, you know, he sends me this thing. I have to, like, MapQuest it. It's all the way over across in, you know, in downtown Seattle. And, you know, I'm an East Side kid, which for all of you who know Washington or Seattle area, it's on the other side of Lake Washington. So I rarely got over to Seattle anyway. So long story short, I get to his place and he's like, Mike, how would you like to come work for me and run Real World in the same way that you would run a kitchen?
Wow.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And mind you, I actually didn't even know what he really did. I mean, I knew Real World. I knew jingles. Funny thing is we always used to listen to Cube 93 in the kitchen, and I hear his work. And so that's the one thing that I knew of what my brother did. And I would always sing the Cube 93 jingle along, and, you know, it was pretty fun. But so I get to his house.
So what was your reaction?
I was like, you got to be high. No. But my brother's a very convincing person. And after a little bit, he basically said, look, you know, at that point, mind you, I was kind of in between. I just finished up one gig and I was transitioning to another gig. So I had a kind of a unique window of opportunity that I could play with a little bit. And so he convinced me, say, hey, just come work for me for a month. If you don't like it, you can leave, no hard feelings. If I don't like you, I can fire you with no hard feelings, and we're all good. So, I mean, that's essentially how it went down. And so I show up to work on a Monday morning. It was May 13th, 2003, and I walk in, and I sit down, and he literally trains me for 5 minutes. And then he was writing a jingle package for NRJ in France, and they're you know, really, you know, great client.
Wow.
But he had to get back in the studio, and this guy Frederick, who was the boss at that time, was hammering on Steve on the kick drum of a jingle. So he basically, Steve spent the entire day kind of working on a kick drum, and mind you, I was just staring at this computer and
going, what is this?
What do I do? Real World was really small back then, so I was employee number 7, and the person sitting across the desk from me is still here today, and she's wonderful. Her name's Tamara Schuler, and I owe so much to her, because she really took me under her wing those first few days and kind of taught me what jingles were, how people used them, how people purchased them, how we re-sing them and deliver them, how we use a database, and essentially kind of what do I do when the phone rings? And so the phone just started, phone rang. And I sold my first jingle package. And mind you, I was kind of doing sales and marketing at the beginning. And the phone rang and it was, it was in Joplin, Missouri. I can't remember the call letters, but they basically bought a news talk package from me. And I remember like running down the hall, and, like not even knocking when Steve's recording, just jumped in the studio. I was like, dude, I sold a package. And you know, at that moment, I kind of got the hook, and I it just it absolutely invigorated me. So
your anniversary's coming up.
I know it is. It's crazy to think that. I mean, it's so many years. When I joined Real World, I was 29. So do the math. 45 okay. Now. So yeah, like my adult life has been here.
So if you started out with, when you walked in the door, you were employee number 7. So how many employees are there today?
I think all in, like employees and contractors, and we don't really differentiate between the two. I mean, it's about 95.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now are they just in America or are they all over the world?
All over the world. We have a ton in Washington, all over in a lot of different states, but we have a producer in Iceland. We have a producer in Australia. We've got composers in Holland. We have a whole office, actually, in Manchester in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everywhere.
So for people who don't, I mean, I know there's might be one or two, but Real World is very popular in the industry. For people who don't really know what Real World is, describe what Real World is. What does Real World bring to the table in radio?
You know, that's a really tough one, but I think overarching, we are, I like to think of us as the humble warriors or humble champions of the industry and the stations that we support. I mean, we really, you know, we don't like to take a lot of credit for our station's success. Rather, we really like to be behind the scenes and help stations deliver kind of their best selves and deliver, you know, emotional connections between, you know, themselves and their audiences. So if anything, we love being behind the scenes, but we create brands. Brand extensions from jingles, from your sonic identity to, you know, everything that a station would need to, you know, help them be their best selves. And I mean, we're creative audio agency is probably the best way to describe us. Whatever you need, I mean, we really try to tailor it for you. We don't ever tell you what's best unless you ask us. Or the station ask us. And so, yeah, I think humble warriors is who we are as far as what Real World stands for.
So how do you think Real World is perceived by the industry? What kind of feedback have you gotten from your clients?
I mean, it's mostly positive. I like to think that we do a good job. I mean, we get constructive criticism too. And I think we take that criticism and try to do better each and every day. But I mean, I think overall we have a pretty good reputation within the industry. We work really hard at it. We stress like kind of the trifecta or the pillars of our business is quality, quantity, speed, and customer service. Those kind of the four things really make up Real World. And if any one of those things are faltering, we look hard at correcting it quickly.
Yeah, that's how I view it in my mind. Like, you guys are the gold standard of jingles and imaging and all that, and have been for a really, really long time. So how has it been with you stepping in the picture as a CEO? How has that changed Real World? I mean, obviously tons of growth from being, I think I'm going to refer to you as employee number 7 now. How have you changed Real World?
You know, I think I've changed Real World not by anything that I've done personally. I think my biggest thing that I've given to Real World is hiring good people and hiring the right people. I don't ever pretend that I'm the smartest person in the room or I have the answer. I really look towards surrounding myself with amazing people that are 10 times smarter than me that have those answers. And I think my skill is putting those pieces together and formulating a plan or a set of actions that we can execute on based on that really good, you know, intelligence. And I think that coupled with kind of what makes me tick personally is I love to spark dreams into reality for others. In another life, I'd be a coach. And actually, in this life, I am a coach. So my job is really to push people and to inspire people to reach farther and to think bigger. And I think the net outcome of that is Real World benefits from it on a professional level. But everyone who works here benefits it from a personal level too. Everyone here strives to grow, and it's so fun to see.
Well, you've got like really great talent on your team, and I'm just talking about producers, much less anybody else. I mean, I'm looking at realworld.com/people and looking at the list, you've got Konski on there, you've got Dom on there, you have like a really, really solid producer pool under the Real World umbrella. I mean, there's Victor Lyle on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the talent under your umbrella is just unbelievable.
Thank you. I mean, and thank everyone who you just mentioned. I think hiring the best people for the best job or for the right job is so critical to, you know, any organization, you know, let alone a jingle imaging company. But getting the right people in the seat is everything. I mean, Dubs, Neil Martin, Flounder, Victor,
yeah,
you know, Stefan,
Andy.
Gosh, the list goes on and on and on. I hope I didn't leave. I left a lot of people out. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's just, and those people inspire me every day. The stuff that they are making, if you crack open any production vault or read, you know, library, it's like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, Ron's in there too. So, okay, so here's here's an interesting question. Are you a micromanager or not?
No.
Good. Thank God.
Not at all.
Great. So with that much talent on your team, how do you manage them? And how do you, and I know that there's other people on your team that help you manage them, but I guess the bigger question is, how do you inspire them? Because, you know, with creative talent, the more they're inspired, the harder they work. So how do you inspire great talent?
I think probably the biggest thing is to listen to them. I guess the biggest thing is that everyone's different,
right,
and unique, and different things make different people tick. And so, and I think listening to them, because they have a lot of great ideas. I think asking questions is really, really important too. So when someone brings an idea to me, I really try to ask as many questions as I can, not for my own benefit, but just to help them develop their idea a little bit further.
Sure.
And so I think those two things, I think getting people together is really, really important. A lot of imagers, and you know this, Kelly, is that they sit in their rooms and they're expected to be creative,
right,
at 9 a.m. until whatever, when they're over, and they've got a laundry list of things that they need to do. And sometimes those lists can be daunting and kind of maybe crunch creativity a little bit. And I think getting people together in think tanks and discussions, mm-hmm, is really, really important. So we at Real World, we have Slack. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically a chat room, but it's different channels. And we get all the producers in there, and they're constantly chatting back and forth and sharing ideas and just talking or typing talking. But you can actually have video conferences in there as well. But and then on top of that, every week, you know, we meet via Slack as well on a video conference. And so everyone gets a chance to interact. So I think keeping the creative juices flowing by sharing content and sharing tips, it makes that siloed feeling maybe not be so much. Maybe people feel like they're part of a bigger thing.
Yeah, it feels like a family.
It is.
And I also noticed that at, you know, some of the big conferences like Radio Days Europe, you had everybody together and everybody is just having fun and talking to people and networking, and you make everybody feel so welcome at those conferences, whichever one you guys are at. I've always witnessed it. Just seems like your booth is fun.
Thank you. We were, you know, I liked, again, I kind of go back to, we love working with people. We love our clients. I don't say that, you know, your listeners might disagree with this statement, but I never like to think that we're hard selling anybody. We like to be partners, and people naturally come to us because we're not trying to sell them something or get something from them at every opportunity. It really is, you know, once you become a Real World kind of family member, you know, whether internally or a client, you're kind of, we're on the same level, and we love doing what we do, and we love people, we love working with people. So I think that the proof is in just the nature of who we are as people. Just, we love everybody.
So have you cooked for your team?
Yes.
Hey!
Yeah, many times.
Did they like your cooking?
Yeah. Like last fall, we had a big development summit. And so we have six developers on staff. And everyone came in, and they all work remotely, kind of like imagers, but they all came in, and George, one of our image, our developers, was like, man, my favorite food is beef Wellington, and I haven't had it in a long time. So that night, I went, got all the ingredients, and I came back the next day, because we have a kitchen at Real World, and I made beef Wellington for everybody.
Oh,
it was pretty fun.
That's a big task. Beef Wellington for all.
Except for no mushrooms on mine. I'm not a mushroom fan.
Oh, come on.
They scare me.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about you.
Okay.
Just specifically you. So, and not just talking about Real World, but other jobs that you've had in the span of your career, whether it's chef or Real World or chef at Real World, has anyone ever doubted your ability?
Oh, yeah. Every day. Not every day. Yes.
So how does that affect you mentally?
I think mentally, I'm pretty strong. I don't take things too personally. I try to look at the context behind it, and you know, many times that they're right. You know, if I make a mistake, I'm the first one to admit it. But I think also I look at the person who is maybe criticizing me or doubting me, and I bring them closer and ask them why, well, how would they do that differently? And if they've got a good reason or a good answer, oftentimes I'll pivot and go with that. So, you know, my biggest thing is to fail as quickly as possible and learn from it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
What about when you first came in the door and you were first named CEO? Were there people like, oh my God, he was a chef? You know, what does he have to bring to the table?
Yeah, there was. I mean, employee 5 and employee 6 said that. and then employee 3 was like, oh, the owner just hired his brother. Yeah, I think quickly I dispelled that because I came in with the mentality, you know, running then we didn't do any imaging, it was just jingles. Running a jingle company is not too dissimilar from running a kitchen. You've got the chefs who are essentially, you know, at the time, my brother and Eric writing the jingles for custom clients. You've got the line or the kitchen staff who are basically recreating those packages for stations X, Y, and Z through syndication. So they're the line cooks, if you will. You've got, you know, the sales staff, which are essentially waiters. And so it's kind of, in my mind, I kind of tried to figure out, okay, this is kind of like a kitchen. How would I run this? And how would I run this the most effectively and efficiently? And so I did make some tweaks in those early days that I think had some really good workflow benefits. And, you know, that's the way I think. So to answer your question, when I did that, I think I convinced people, okay, it's not just little brother.
Right.
You know, it's this guy can do it.
Yeah, that's got to be a hump to get over, too. So has there been a moment in your career where you surprised yourself, you know, about your ability?
Yes, I think there's been a few, but I think there's one in particular that's coming to mind is, you know, one of the unfortunate parts of being in the role that I have is sometimes things don't work out and you have to let somebody go. And I don't love confrontation.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was, is I internally made excuses for this person. Oh, well, they're just not doing a good job because of this, or they're not doing a good right. job of that. Or maybe if I coached them this way, they could do a better job. But at the end of the day, they just weren't right. And it took me a long time to get to that decision. And when I look back at that particular scenario, I should have done it a lot sooner. And I didn't listen to myself. And essentially, I failed myself, and I failed the team. And again, I think I learned a tremendous amount. If there's something wrong, face it head on. Don't try to sugarcoat it. You know, you can do anything you can say, you can do with kindness. And that's what I try to do always. But I think the biggest learn there was, you know, that's probably it. Sorry.
Well, you're giving life advice now. The best life advice.
Kindness. Be good to people.
Exactly. It's very easy to just be kind to people.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest challenge of your career?
The biggest challenge of my career has been dealing with growth and workflows. When we were smaller and more nimble, everyone wore multiple hats, and because you have to. And as we've matured and we have different divisions and different branches, you don't wear as many hats. People wear specialized hats, and trying to put things in an organizational manner that makes sense, that essentially makes things run smoothly, but still does everything we talked about earlier versus inspiration and coaching and, you know, that still having that family feeling, it can be daunting. So we've really had to spend extra time kind of working in that family environment and that supportive environment in what I would call, you know, a pseudo corporate structure, because we've had to be somewhat corporate as we've, you know, as we've got to 94, 95 employees.
Right, right. That's a lot of employees from employee seven.
It really is. And I think also another thing that's been challenging is that, you know, some people, if you are employee 13 or employee 10 or 18, you're used to wearing so many hats.
Right.
And when sometimes the byproduct of, you know, having 95 is some of your hats get taken away from you, and doing it in a way that is thoughtful is also a challenge. So it's something that we work hard on every day to make sure that everyone's in the right seat, doing the right job, and is feeling great about it and are happy to, you know, show up every day.
Sure. What about new talent? Do you guys find yourself looking for new talent as far as producers or, I don't know, any other role within Real World? Are you constantly looking, or are you pretty set right now?
I think we are pretty set right now. That being said, we are running, I don't want to say we're redlining, but we're close. So, yes, I mean, I think we're always looking for the right person. In the baseball analogy, if Mike Trout just became available, yeah, we tried to get him. You know, so yeah, we have the room to take on star talent for sure. And that's, you know, looking at our roster, as you mentioned, we've got some great talented people in there. We're always looking to add. So any homeless rock stars out there, give me a call.
That's funny. Okay. So what's next for Real World? And a loaded question, what's next for you? Like, close the book of life and open it in 10 years. Where are you, and where is Real World in that process?
Man, gosh, I'll have an 18-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl. So I would imagine that I will be deep in puberty and getting yelled at by them.
Yes, you are. Oh, my gosh, you'll have teenagers well into the teenage year. Yeah, you'll be in trouble.
I'll still be in West Seattle, and I'll still be here at Real World for sure. I think Real World, I'm really excited about the future of radio, to be honest with you. And I know that not everybody is, but I truly think that we've got a great road ahead of us. And, you know, and when I say radio, it's multifaceted. I mean, it's audio, and there's so many different ways for people to get audio. And I'm just really looking forward to being kind of on the bleeding edge of helping great content creators transition from kind of the analog, you know, radio world into, you know, the digital, you know, branded audio content space, podcasting, you know, Alexa, Google Home. There's so many cool things that are out there that gets me so excited that I can't wait to, you know, we already are, but can't wait just to dive in and help brands extend into those spaces.
So what about this? Being Real World and you supply radio stations with whatever you need, is there anything or any sort of blog or something to help actual producers?
Yours.
Perfect. Perfect. Send them to theimaginghouse.com.
Yeah, no, I think what you're doing is great. I mean, you're the first. I mean, I know there's a couple other little ones out there, but I think what you're doing by bringing the community together and making it a smaller place, a place of communication and community, I mean, that's really what it's about. We are a small niche community, and we need to stick together.
Yeah. No, it's so much fun when people get to meet face-to-face for the first time. That time is just so, so valuable. Like, we did a party right before Worldwide Radio Summit, and people I've been working with, there was one guy who had been working with Jeff Berlin for like 10 years, and then all of a sudden they meet face-to-face for the first time. And I love bringing those opportunities up for people to see each other face-to-face.
So cool. I can't wait for your event next year.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. All right. Well,
thank you
taking the time, and thank you for answering all my questions. And I hope to have you cook for me sometime.
I would be honored. And for all your listeners out there, you know, Real World is an open door. If you guys ever want to reach out and say hi, my door is always open. If you're ever in Seattle, just swing on by. I'll cook for you.
You might regret that. Lots of beef Wellingtons.
I love it.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Kelly.